This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In just a few hours, President Trump addresses a joint session of Congress and the nation, outlining his agenda on the economy, security, and trade. It comes as the U.S. imposed tariffs on China, Canada, and Mexico imports today. That triggered reciprocal tariffs on U.S. goods. Democratic senators gathered at the Capitol with constituents voicing concern. Gary Wordish is a lifelong farmer and president of Minnesota's Farmers Union.
President Trump, when in his first term, he had the tariff war that he started back then in 2018. In that time, it hit primarily against China, which is a large soybean buyer of the United States. We have not recovered from that, and we never will.
GOP Senate leader John Soon thinks he sees tariffs through a different lens than the president. The Vatican says Pope Francis, who is battling pneumonia, will sleep with a ventilator mask following yesterday's respiratory episodes. And severe storms on the march across Gulf states, including Louisiana, where Mardi Gras celebrations are underway. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX.
A messy winter storm system is set to impact the Cooley region today and tomorrow. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A big storm is slamming the state today, with rain ramping up tonight and flipping to snow through Wednesday, where over a half of a foot of snow is expected in north and western parts of the state, and much less elsewhere. However, winds will be strong statewide, gusting up to 40 miles per hour at times. This will create some whiteout conditions no matter how much snow you get. It'll also be a heavy, wet, and slushy snow type.
Blizzard warnings have been posted to our west, while Wisconsin has winter storm warnings and winter weather advisories in effect through tomorrow night. A pause on USDA funding for the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative by the Trump administration is affecting at least one local business. The Birch Point Distillery in Westby now faces an uncertain future after the funding was interrupted. Owners have already invested $80,000 of their own money into the business. In Wisconsin, $6.5 million is being withheld for 88 dairy businesses. All told, the funding affects over 400 businesses nationwide to the tune of $30 million, which was already approved by Congress. Three committees will meet today for the city of La Crosse. The Arts Board will discuss proposed changes to this year's annual grant program. The Library Board is meeting to go over staff restructuring, a grant project, and an annual report. Finally, the Judiciary and Administration Committee is meeting to go over several license applications, as well as approve rezoning the 400 block of West Avenue North to allow construction of a mixed-use building, as well as two condo buildings on Highway 16. The boys' basketball tournament begins tonight with home teams including Sparta, Toma, and Luther. Teams tonight play into the regional semifinals on Friday, where the full tournament field will be in action. On Thursday, girls basketball regional champions West Salem, Aquinas, Blair Taylor, and Aliva Strumble play in sectional semifinals. It's also the start of state hockey. On Friday, state gymnastics and state team wrestling begin, with Holman competing in Division I at team wrestling in Madison Friday and Saturday.
For 1490 WLCX and LacrosseEagle.com, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A setback for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers starting left-handed pitcher Aaron Ashby had to leave last night's spring training game in Arizona in the second inning. Manager Pat Murphy says it's an oblique muscle injury requiring an MRI. The Brewers went on to lose to the Reds 5-4. Ashby, the sixth Brewers pitcher, now dealing with an injury. NBA, the Bucks in Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks. Milwaukee has won six of their last seven games, and they've now moved up to fourth place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The Badgers men team getting ready to play Minnesota in the Twin Cities. Head coach Greg Gard.
Yeah, it is a border state. You know, we've recruited that area really well. That area has been really good to us. We've got really good players from there. It's important in terms of Big Ten tournament seeding. It's important to get the double bye if you can. And quite frankly, you boil it down to it's your next game and you're competitive and you want to win. The other stuff that could happen from that is a byproduct of, you know, doing good things on Wednesday night.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain to snow late tonight. Winter storm warning for accumulations of 2 to 6 inches and strong wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour, producing widespread blowing snow. Snow continues through tomorrow afternoon, staying windy. Temps fall from the 30s to 20s. It's 46 right now.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave.
That prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care.
Prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.com to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll break down the presidential address with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project and see what's ahead for Ukraine. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to be on the air on this Tuesday night, broadcasting statewide over the great state of Wisconsin from beautiful but rainy downtown Green Bay. I'm going to get some rain tonight on the way home. I know it. About 3 weeks ago, I left here, and it took me an hour and 45 minutes to get home because snow came out of nowhere, and I blame Brittany Merlot. What do you think about that, Conrad?
Well,
she's not here to defend herself, so I shouldn't say anything.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be snow tonight, but you might be running those windshield wipers on high.
Yeah, as I get up north, though, the temperature could drop. Yeah. Who knows what happens? I am well-schooled in driving through crappy weather, though, folks. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday. We are going to party like it's a Tuesday, folks. And, you know, last night I had one of my favorite shirts on a Monday. I don't ever do that because you don't waste your best shirt on a Monday. Tonight I got this, like, kind of... This is a total Tuesday shirt. I don't know if you're watching on the stream, but tune in. You can see what shirt I'm wearing. You can voice your opinion. You wear your best shirt on Friday, right? Ideally.
I think so. Or okay. The Christmas Eve of weekdays.
Thursday is a good night to wear a good shirt, too. There's nothing wrong with that. Last night, I kind of shot my wad on a Monday with my best shirt. Now I don't know what to do. I'm going to be like in a tank top on Friday by the time the weekend gets here.
There you go.
Yeah, you know. I'm not saying I have the guns I used to, but we'll see what happens. Fun show tonight, folks. Okay, I just found out that John Egan is not Appleton-based. I don't know who introduced me to John Egan. I think it was Mike Mercury. I think. But for some reason, I had in my head he was an Appleton-based comedian. And John is getting a little testy about this. He said, stop saying I'm from Appleton, and he threatened me. He put a ha-ha after the Twitter. But you know what ha-ha means to me? I have brass knuckles, and I'm not afraid to use them, pal. And maybe he's not from Appleton. I don't know that I believe him. I think he is, but I see John in Appleton, and I'm going to keep pushing for Appleton. I think John would do very well in Appleton. But we'll have we can ask him about that at 6:35 and find out why he hates Appleton. And then Craig Kinnett is here at 7:20. That'll be fun. Craig is a local filmmaker. And also a teacher who teaches filmmaking to kids. And he's always got, Craig always has a ton of stuff going on. So we're going to talk to Craig about film festivals. There's another a tribute coming up, I believe, at the Green Bay Film Festival with Bill Rabane, who made the Giant Spider Invasion. So we'll talk to Craig about that as well. He's coming into the studio at 7:20. If he can brave the elements and Green Bay traffic and bad neighborhoods, hopefully Craig will get here in one piece. John Egan, being from Appleton, doesn't have that problem because Appleton's a very nice town.
Appleton's a lovely city.
Appleton's a lovely city, as is Green Bay. We're all doing very well. So that's our those are our guests for tonight. I think a couple swell guys celebrating Northeast Wisconsin here tonight on Nightlight, as we often do. And, you know, I heard the word on the street is, Conrad, that as many of you know, Adrian Brody gave the longest speech, the longest acceptance speech in Oscar history. He was one second shy of the record. He gave the second longest acceptance speech in Oscar's history, missed the record by 1 second. All through the show last night, he was still talking. I kind of just ruined the gag.
Well, I think he went 2 days over now, actually.
Is he still talking?
There's so many people to thank. I will really try and be as brief as possible.
Good luck.
I thank, of course, my team, Andrew Sulis, and my many friends at CAA, and Lindsay Gallen, and Heather, 2 p.m. sharp, and A24, and Focus and Universal for believing in us, and Brady and Mona for what you've done for independent film, and for your beautiful spirit, and for giving me space to exist in this triumph of a work.
Going.
And my fellow cast, Guy and Felicity, you're just brilliant and lovely.
Let's catch the
and
rest
I share
of
this with you
on the miniseries. I'm sure it's coming out. There's going to be a miniseries on Apple TV, Adrian Brody's acceptance speech. I would have loved it if he said, I'd like to thank my team, the Buffalo Bills. And just went into launched into like his favorite football team or something. Such a weird dude.
It felt like more of a, you know, personal conversation than acceptance speech.
He was working some stuff out, you know. Hey, it's Fat Tuesday and it's National Snack Day. It's National Suns Day. Not the Phoenix Suns. Sorry, Conrad.
That's all right.
National Dance the Waltz Day. I think my audience is a little more schooled and cultured, so I think they know what a waltz is. But I think if you put that out there, like let's say people your age, Conrad, do you think they all know what a waltz is?
I've never done a waltz, but
you know it's a dance, right?
Yeah.
But you probably wouldn't know what it is.
I mean, I know what it is, but I just never done the dance. Maybe people younger than me probably don't know what it is.
You grew up in a different house, though. Your parents gave you waltz lessons every night, so you're kind of that rarity. I had a friend in grade school, junior high, when I moved to Marinette. His name was Rob, and I don't know. I was used to seeing like Irish dancers when I was in Chicago and all these different instruments, and when I found out my friend Rob could tap dance, and he was great. I'm like, you tap dance? Like in this little town. He's like, oh, yeah, he does shows, and he was awesome at it. Love watching tap dancing. And to be honest, I know a little bit of the waltz. My wife and I did that. We kind of took lessons so we could do something at our wedding for the first dance. But yeah, that's a big one. But today is Fat Tuesday. For you Catholics out there, I want to know what your plans are. And that leads us to our question of the day.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your fat meal? What is your Fat Tuesday meal? You got to fatten up today, folks, because Lent starts tomorrow. Probably going to give something up. Most people do food, I think. So what is your Fat Tuesday meal? What's yours, Conrad?
Ooh, I think it would be some pasta.
Okay.
Probably some, like, chicken Alfredo.
Okay.
With a whole heap of Parmesan cheese on it.
So you like that cream sauce. You're loading up.
And then I like some garlic bread with it. So some really good garlic bread, not the one you get in the freezer.
Well, no, it's Fat
You go
Tuesday.
Out.
Yeah.
Or you make it yourself.
Absolutely.
And then finish it off of the day, just a Big Mac, because why not?
After a heaping mound of pasta. And a Big Mac meal, too, probably.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I think I would go Italian for this. I think I'm going with, like, Maggiano's. If you've ever been to a Maggiano's, they have this meal where they have, like, rigatoni, a very light cream sauce, chicken that melts in your mouth, and Parmesan, tons of garlic, mushrooms. It is such an amazing meal. And there's like a white No, probably a red wine sauce mixed in there. It is so good. And I haven't been to a Maggiano's in a long time, but when I used to go, they would give you so much food, you couldn't finish it, and then you take it home, and you couldn't finish that. I'm going to look it up. I'll look it up on the menu because I just thought of it. I was going to go Indian food. I have an Indian restaurant in Madison I like called Maharini, and I know I like the chicken tiki masala. They make it so good. But I think for Fat Tuesday, if I can just pack on calories and carbohydrates, I'm going Italian. And I'm going to find out what that dish is at Maggiano's as well. You ever eaten at Maggiano's?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. If you like Italian food, and who doesn't, you got to try it. I'm going to find out the name of it. But that's my Fat Tuesday meal. What's your Fat Tuesday meal? That's our question tonight. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know on the text line or on the app. I know you guys have the app because we get a lot of texts on the app. It's so easy to use. There's a little icon. Push the icon and fire away, and I will read your texts on the radio. I'm really curious tonight to see, because kind of like our soup question last week, I want to know what people are eating. I would love to know what they want to binge on Fat Tuesday. I haven't drank in a while, but I'd probably go a nice big glass of red wine too with that Italian food and probably some garlic bread to start things off.
I would just need to have water the whole time just because I don't want to stuff my face with other stuff that brings calories too.
Because you're eating too much salt too.
Yes.
Man, I did that too. I mowed some ice cream last weekend. And you don't realize how much salt is in ice cream, but you always get thirsty later. It's so weird. So I'm going to pull up. I got to find this Maggiano's menu. And then I want to let everyone know what dish this is. All right, I'll find it during the break. But that's our question. Let us know what you think, folks. Love to hear from you guys. There is still, it's so funny because the Oscars are now, 2 days removed. And there's such great stories coming from the event. I love this. Macaulay Culkin, who has never won an Oscar, I don't think he's ever been nominated, I don't know for sure, talked about how happy he was for his brother, Kieran. And I always wondered if those guys were close, because Kieran played Fuller McAllister in Home Alone, and Macaulay obviously played Kevin. So they were brothers in the movie, brothers in real life, and it turns out they're close. Like Macaulay Culkin said he cried, he was thrilled for his brother. Just a great story. We have a phone call.
Yes, Cindy from Appleton.
Cindy, how are you, Cindy?
Good, how are you, Pete? I just came from the March 4th rally downtown Appleton. It was awesome.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, I'm not Catholic, so every day is Fat Tuesday for me.
Take advantage of that, Cindy. Must be nice. What's your meal? Like, let's say you could have whatever you wanted every night. What meal are you going for?
Oh, probably pizza.
Pizza, nice.
I love pizza.
That's kind of Italian, too. I said Italian food myself. Do you have a favorite pizza?
Sausage and mushroom.
Sausage and mushroom. What about a brand like a pizza place? Do you have a preferred store?
We have a lot of good pizza places here. I mean, we have Sammy's, we have Cranky Pats, we have Frank's, and we have, I'm trying to think who else has got some good pizzas.
Wow.
We've got a lot of good places here for pizza, so.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. Yep. Eat some Italian food. Eat some pizza for us tonight, and happy Fat Tuesday, Cindy.
You too. Thanks.
All right, thanks a lot. Lots of pizza places in Appleton. We'll have to ask John Egan about that when he's here.
I'm sure he'll know all about it.
He's going to punch me. We're coming right back. We're going to hear a little bit of John Egan's comedy. And we've got other stuff planned too, Conrad. Don't just think we're just doing this one thing. We got a whole show planned here tonight. You're not getting out of here before 8 o'clock, Conrad. Or listeners, we're in this together, people. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe, I believe, I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last year that the Trump transition team had been funding itself through unknown private donations and refused to sign a General Services Administration transition support memo, which limited private donations to $5,000. The memo was never signed, and the transition's private donors still haven't been disclosed. Nonprofit news site Notice reports that previous transition teams disclosed that information by February 19th, including Trump's first transition. In November, Trump's chief of staff promised to disclose those donors. The Presidential Transition Act of 1963 allows money controlled by the GSA to fund presidential transition expenses, including office space, personnel, IT, and other support services to aid incoming and outgoing administrations. That funding is contingent on the incoming administration signing a memo of understanding and the $5,000 limit on private donations. But while Trump's team agreed on the terms of the new administration's move into the White House, it refused to sign GSA's transition support memo, allowing it to sidestep the limits and disclosure requirements. So between November 7th and January 20th, it's likely millions were received from wealthy donors and corporations, and Americans still don't know who funded its transfer of power and the influence it bought. We've linked the Notice report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Winning an award like this is, it signifies a destination. And something my character references in the film.
If he says anything important, we'll cut back in. We'll make it breaking news. That sounds like a story. I know Stuart J. Waddles does pretty good work here. Melissa Kay, all the news people, Lisa Hale. But we've got a story, too. And it's Adrian Brody's speech, and it's still going on. So we will cut back as needed, folks. I promise you, you won't miss anything. Our question of the night is, what is your Fat Tuesday meal? I say Italian food. I did look up that meal at Maggiano's. If you live near a Maggiano's, it's called Rigatoni D. And I would be surprised if the portions are as big as they used to be, because I'm not kidding. It was insane. You would take so much food home. You had lunch like for the rest of the week. And that's the way it should be. It's pasta. It costs like 40 cents, you know. But that's my meal, Rigatoni D. And if Maggiano's is closed, I go to Maharani in Madison and get the chicken tiki masala. Conrad said, what did you say again? Oh, you're going a fettuccine Alfredo.
Yeah, with some chicken in it. Yeah. And then a garlic bread on the side and just a Big Mac.
How about a big glass of milk, too, on the side?
Oh, no.
Let's work okay. Some more dairy.
That's where I draw the line, Pete.
Brian from Green Bay, that's the 920, folks, if you're scoring at home. He says Glorioso's in Milwaukee. God, I've heard of that. Is that on Brady Street? Is that one of those old Italian places on Brady Street?
If it is, I actually never went to that place.
Or is that an Italian joint restaurant? I don't know. I know I've heard of that, if not eaten there 30 years ago. Thank you, Brian. Glorioso's in Milwaukee. All right. Cindy from Appleton. We just heard from Cindy. She's doing pizza. Paula, Conrad's mom checking in, says, I made homemade mac and cheese with chicken sausage. Ooh. Well, that's interesting.
Gloriosos is on Brady Street, by
okay,
the way.
I thought so. Yeah. I think it's like a deli, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. It's an Italian deli.
Yeah, I know. I've been in there. There used to be an Italian place on Brady Street called Cataldo's. And we would do our shows at the Comedy Cafe. Then we go out drinking. And Cataldo's was open until like 5 in the morning. Like, you felt like a good fellow when you walked in there. You're going in to order fettuccine and clam sauce or linguine and clam at like 3 in the morning. And it was fun. Like, you could pretend you were like a wise guy. Like, I don't want to sit with my back to the door, you know. And you did get some wise guys that came in there from time to time. Milwaukee has a mob, as we've discussed on this show.
Yeah.
And we would be real loud in there and laughing. And then we'd see guys we thought maybe that would kill us, and we'd pipe down. That was a great restaurant, though. I don't think it's there anymore. It had this great green and, like, maroon exterior. Really cool place. Brian from Green Bay also says, or Brothers Three Pizza. That's in Marinette. And I think they have one in Ocano, too. That is a foolproof pizza recipe. It has been around since we moved to Marinette 40 years ago when I was a kid. It's still there. And it's changed owners a few times, but the recipe is there. It's very good pizza. And it's like the same restaurant. It's been updated like once in 40 years. Check it out if you're in Marinette or Ocano. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My Fat Tuesday meal would be coconut shrimp at Red Lobster with a baked potato with sour cream, coleslaw, and a glass of Prosecco.
You know, also their little like garlic buns or whatever. Yeah those called, things are so good.
What are they? They're like crab or something seasoning. I don't know. They have
it's
a cool
so
name.
Good. Yeah.
They are good. Yeah, you wolf about 10 of those down before you even get your meal. And strawberry cheesecake for dessert. That is a Fat Tuesday meal. Coconut shrimp. Okay. I'm fasting tonight, so this is really brutal. I can't believe I chose this. That's my actual Fat Tuesday meal is no food. Thank you, Anna. Great text. Brian, again, from Green Bay says, yes, since 1946 on Brady Street. Confirmed, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Thank you for the text. Keep them coming. What is your Fat Tuesday meal, folks? Let's have some fun with this one like we already are. Hey, we've got John Egan coming up in just a few minutes. Very funny guy. I had the pleasure of working with John just about a month ago in Marinette. I brought him up there for a fundraiser with Johnny Beaner and Jessica Phillips, all of whom have been on the show. And here is a little sample of John Egan's comedy.
So what I do is I go to, you know, after work, I got to pick him up from school, the daycare, you know, she's like, oh, he was an angel all day. And as soon as he gets to me, he just starts crying, just crying, just crying. Put him in the car seat, crying, crying. Because, you know, I don't want 10 minutes alone by myself to just rewind from the day or unwind or take a breath or listen to a podcast. So I get home, you know, I got to pass him off right to her. There's no kiss anymore because she has to breastfeed him because that's not mine anymore, too. That's super fun, you know. Not even during sex. She's like, oh, there's milk in there. Cool, fun. This is so great. So she starts doing that, and then she's like, as soon as she starts feeding him, she's like, well, what's for dinner? I'm like, oh, great. We had 8 damn hours to talk about it over our cellular phones, but right now is the perfect time. So I got to go because I have no idea because right now, one time I forgot to take a list of the grocery store, so now we have to go every other week for grocery shopping because she doesn't trust me, so I don't know what's in there. All right, so that's super fun. So I go in there, and I grab some whole wheat pasta, which you guys, did you know that there's measurements on there? I had no idea. My whole life, I was like, let's make pasta. Too much. All right, so then I start making some whole wheat pasta. I'm like, I can't. We're not poor. I can't just have whole wheat pasta. So I start making some vegetables in a pan. I'm like, well, we need some meat. So I throw some turkey pepperoni and some bacon bits in there. I mean, we're not rich. I can't afford real bacon. That's ridiculous. Silly. So I'm making all that. I'm like, well, these are not going to cook at the same time. So I take out an egg pan, which I didn't know existed until I was married. I'm like, you can make one egg? What? All right, so then I put that down. And I transfer the turkey pepperoni and the bacon bits all the way over to the egg pan. But I forgot there's olive oil, so that burns immediately. So now we got to put on the fan, turn out, wave off the alarm so he doesn't scream. And then we got to put that all together. And now at this point, at 9 months, he's doing puree food, avocado, puree food, soft toast, or he screams. You have to do that damn order. So then you got to make sure he's full. So now we're going to eat our cold pasta burnt. And we can't even talk about our day for 5 minutes. We can't just be like, why does he keep tweeting? Why can't the president spell? So then we're just trying to eat. And then we're trying to eat. So now then after that, we're going to have to get him ready for bed and put him on the changing table, which I don't know if you know exists, but every baby hates it. You can change him on the ottoman, on the floor, on an RV, on a damn carnival ride. It doesn't matter. But if you put him on the changing table, he wants to flip over and pee and flip over, do something else. Poop a damn poop avalanche on the floor.
He just gets going and going. He's a great storyteller, and he crushed him in Marinette. It's going to be fun to have John here in just a couple minutes. Folks, we'll do that after the news. We'll welcome, let's say this, just so he doesn't come after me with the brass knuckles, Northeast Wisconsin's own John Egan. Until we actually hone in on his address, maybe we could do that. We'll bring that up with John after Civic Media's award-winning news team tells you what you need to know. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Where it should have.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska for 1490 WLCX.
A potent winter storm system is arriving in southeastern Minnesota and western Wisconsin tonight, with blizzard and winter storm warnings posted in our area. The city of La Crosse is in line for 3 to 6 inches of snow. Strong winds will create whiteout conditions due to the blowing snow. Today, before the snow, up to an inch of rain could fall. Highs will stay in the 30s. The biggest impacts will be between midnight and noon, with snow moving out tomorrow evening. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. The Wisconsin Elections Commission said that an audit of the state's voting machines found that there were no votes counted incorrectly, changed or missed. The audit's results also showed that no voting machine or software had been hacked or tampered with. The post-election audit involved 336 randomly selected municipalities and over 327,000 ballots, or about 10% of all ballots cast in the 2024 election. It was the largest post-election audit ever done in the state of Wisconsin. The audits are required by statute. Wisconsin has so far largely been spared the harshest effects of the bird flu in livestock, but after bans on dairy cows at livestock shows and spread among poultry flocks in the state, it's joining a multi-state effort to test for bird flu in dairy cows. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
Cows will soon start to get tested for bird flu. Wisconsin is set to begin testing its dairy cows for bird flu as part of the USDA's national milk testing strategy. The state joins a nationwide surveillance effort that already includes 45 states.
Funding for the testing, as well as potential vaccination of poultry flocks, is still up in the air as the Trump administration continues to cut federal government services. A man was rescued while his house was on fire in Buffalo County this weekend. According to Buffalo County officials, two off-duty first responders were able to wake up a 50-year-old man who was asleep while his house was on fire. The first responder saw smoke coming from a home and noticed lights on inside. After being woken up, the home's resident was able to get out of the house with his dog. Neither were hurt in the fire. The fire, which started near the chimney, was put out, limiting damage to one corner of the house.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The 2025 Oscars are in the books. In case you missed the annual celebration of movies, here is a rundown of the big winners. The Best Supporting Actor trophy was the first major category announced, and the winner was Kieran Culkin for his role in A Real Pain. Taking home Best Supporting Actress, to no one's surprise, was Zoe Saldana for her role in Amelia Perez, a film that was nominated for 13 awards and won two. Winning his second Oscar for Best Actor was Adrian Brody for his role in The Brutalist. He probably deserved it just based on how long he had to stay in character, given the length of the film. Best Actress went to Mikey Madison for her role as the title character in Anora. Anora was really the story of the night as it made history, with director Sean Baker becoming the first person ever to win four Oscars from the same film. Baker won for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture as the film's producer. He also won for Best Editing. Anora was nominated six times and won five. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain to snow late tonight. Winter storm warning for accumulations of 2 to 6 inches and strong wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour, producing widespread blowing snow. Snow continues through tomorrow afternoon, staying windy. Temps fall from the 30s to 20s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week. And then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the four main things to help us balance: how I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
We are joined Wednesday morning by Congressman Mark Pocan for an update on Elon Musk's wrecking ball and what Democrats can do to push back.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
Welcome back. Our question of the night is, what is your Fat Tuesday meal? It is Fat Tuesday. Happy Fat Tuesday, Catholics. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. But on Fat Tuesday, we do what we want. We pig out before we try to lose weight. We smoke a bunch of cigars if we try to stop smoking cigars. Although, if you're Norm Kopesky, owner of Appleton Cigar, why would you ever want to do that? But that's our question. What is your Fat Tuesday meal? Conrad is going for fettuccine Alfredo and a Big Mac. It's a great meal. I'm doing rigatoni D from Maggiano's or some chicken tiki masala from a place I like in Madison. And I would just chow. That rigatoni D is so good. But let me know what you think, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your Fat Tuesday meal is. Get in on the fun. You know, it's funny. The Oscars were just a couple nights ago. But, well, let's ask, let's bring John Egan in, because I want to ask him about the Oscars, too. I love John's reaction to the Super Bowl halftime show. So I assume he's got some thoughts on the Oscars. But if I know John, he's got thoughts on a lot of things. So we'll get those now. It's my pleasure to welcome Northeast Wisconsin's own. His address? There's some, I'm not clear, obviously. And John is a little upset about that, so we'll work through this. He joins us now on the phone, comedian John Egan. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hello, Pete. I'm very insulted that I'm what you picked for Fat Tuesday. I'm a little insulted.
It has nothing to do with your weight, buddy. I just know I'm that sure you appreciate doesn't. You appreciate a nice hot meal at a fair price, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's true.
Do you, John? Do you have a favorite meal? Like, if you were going to go nuts tonight, what would you? What would be your meal?
Well, for Fat Tuesday, we always do jambalaya. But if I'm going nuts, I'm probably going full, you know, pizza, carb load, you know, like breadsticks.
Yeah.
Just stuffed crust, you know, probably maybe wings. Wow. If they have terrible wings, they can throw in with us, like a group of Pizza Hut wings, just because they're there.
Right. I'm laughing because you said if I'm going nuts, like I picture you like just like for some reason shirtless with 8 pounds of food around you, like you're going all out.
I wish I had that confidence be wearing a shirt while eating. It's more of a shame. Shameful thing where it's like the most clothes as possible while I eat.
So, okay, here's the thing. We got to work this out because you're not from Appleton. I thought you were. Sincerest apologies. I don't know who introduced us. I want to say it was Mike Mercury. So I might place part of the blame on him because I love to throw people under the bus. Mike. Okay, good. But where are you in De Pere?
Yes, I'm in De Pere, Bay Area. Yeah.
All right. So I just feel like you're the kind of guy. John, I could see you in Appleton, and I mean that in a good way. It's a nice town.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, almost every Fox Valley comic lives there. It's like me and two other people, and then most of them live in the Appleton, Oshkosh area. So I can see why it's like the assumption that Fox Valley, everyone lives there.
They're both swell towns. They're both funny towns. You can't go wrong either way. So I apologize for that. Conrad, take a memo. We will never use the words Appleton and John Egan again in the same sentence.
Appleton is banned for me. Unless I'm promoting a gig in Appleton, then, yeah.
Okay, here's the other thing, John. I reached out to you today out of the goodness of my heart. I wanted to see if there's anything you wanted to promote. And you kind of came back. Yeah. You gave me a little sass. So is everything okay today? You seem a little on edge.
What did I say that was sassy?
Let me pull it up. Stand by.
Let's pull receipts here. This is what the people want.
Stand by. Okay. I know not to get into a war of words with you over social media because you're very good at it, and I'm not going to do that. Here's what I said. Happy to walk you into anything, or if there's anything you're looking to promote or you want me to bring up, let me know. And you said, not really, no. I thought you brought me on for a reason. Ha ha. That's totally fine.
This is your generation's problem. No, I'm joking. When if someone says ha ha, it is not serious, which means I just know because you do need topics to bring for radio shows. Because I think you brought me on for Brewers once. You brought me on for comedy, so I didn't know if there was a theme tonight that you were doing.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see. I thought the ha-ha was not ha-ha like laughter, but ha-ha like you're pulling a sliver out of your hand or something when you type that.
Yeah, don't know. You need okay. Pete, you need to know that. If someone puts ha-ha, they are joking around. That is to indicate their tone of the sentence.
Oh, Conrad, clip that for promo. That's funny. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. I appreciate the clarity. Hey, we got a text here. I thought this was fun from the 608. Just based on what you said, John, I thought, and this came in right as you were saying it, so you've got a kindred spirit out there. Fat Tuesday means red beans and rice, jambalaya, and alligator gumbo with king cake for dessert and quaffing a few beers. That's from the 608. Thank you, 608. That's a good meal.
Yeah, I didn't have a king cake for a very long time. One of my buddies did, and like would always eat it with the little baby inside of it, the little golden baby, I believe that is.
I don't know what any of that means. What is king cake?
It's almost like a Kringle type thing where it's like a sweeter pastry dessert. Oh. And it's got like very like purple, green. It's got like gold on it. Usually it's like they put decorations, but inside is a tiny little like golden, like little baby Jesus thing. And then whoever finds it wins. And usually there's like a prize.
Okay. You know, to me, I just think it's the ha-ha of desserts. That's how I picture it. And, but thank you. Thank you for that. Was good. That was fortuitous. All right. So how are you doing in general, buddy? Hey, did you have fun in Marinette? That was fun having you up there.
Oh, it was, dude, it was a blast. It was, I was on like a whole string of like random gigs that 2 months. And so that night was great just because my father-in-law lives there. He took me out to eat before. I stayed at his house, like, and then the show was great. And I'm not gonna lie, this is like behind the curtain. This was one of the rare gigs where the venue was able to take breaks and all the comedians still killed. That is a rare feat in comedy.
That's very well said. You're right. That is rare, isn't it?
Because it shows how good the audience is, how well the setup is, and really the lineup as well. Like, there's not a lot of places where you can take a couple breaks and the audience is still right back into it. Because I had one of my favorite sets in a long time there.
That's great. And the breaks were long, too. They were like 10-minute breaks to do this 50-50 raffle. You're right. It never really occurred to me, but that's a great point. All right. I want to ask you, John, after the Kendrick halftime show, I went immediately to Facebook because I just like to bother myself and check in on friends or Facebook people who I know are going to have an issue with what he did or the halftime show in general. The first thing I see pop up is a post from you that said, "No one cares that you didn't like that."
Yeah.
did you just know?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you just know?
Well, yeah, everything. I mean, that was the thing is that even days leading up to it, like I saw a really funny post from people being like, I know this, no one that needs to read this will read this, but you do not have to be upset and talk about it, is that this might not be for you. And that is okay. Like it's right. just going to happen. And like, it's just that I wonder what generation we're going to get to where as that generation finally gets older, they understand that it's not for them. And they just move on with their lives and understand that was 13 minutes of anything. That's
right.
Not even an episode of a sitcom. Like, and it's over forever.
Exactly. And not only that, but like, there's been halftime shows I didn't like, but I'm like, not like, I got to run to social media and let people know that I'm irate. It just doesn't, it's so silly and such wasted energy. And what I saw a lot from friends of mine were, oh, this is terrible. You couldn't understand a word he's saying. I'm a huge Springsteen fan. Sometimes I can't understand what he's saying. Like, that's the music. And for you to get that upset, and a lot of people said, well, I liked Prince, but this guy's terrible. It's almost like they're saying, listen, I like some black people, but I didn't care for this guy.
Well, and that was, and comparing it to probably the greatest halftime show of all time is almost unfair because it was so unique. And the fact that a lot of people talk about that, you know, Prince did this amazing halftime show. One of his songs was a Foo Fighters cover. So he was doing all this random stuff and just became like this cool moment in time that it was literally raining during Purple Rain. That doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
And so like, it's just, it was this once of a lifetime thing where you're not going to like everything. Like, I think everyone forgets that, like everyone talks about, oh, well, Beyonce's done it. Bruno Mars has done it. Yeah, that was Coldplay's. They brought them on as Coldplay wasn't even by themselves. So it just becomes this like weird thing of just,
that's great.
But it's the culture. It's that, how angry can I get? What can I get to get people annoyed? Well, how many reactions can I get? And then everyone forgets it 12 hours later. That's the whole thing. It's a, It's a outrage 12-hour cycle is what we're living in currently.
You're absolutely right. They're looking for stuff to be ticked off about. Hey, how's the podcast going? Tell people about your podcast, your Brewers podcast, and how can they find it?
Sure. It's called Another Brewers Podcast. And so if you type in Brewers, it should be first because alphabet. And so we do one once every month, every 2 weeks, something like that. And we just did one about kind of getting back into the season. And then we'll probably do one soon about, you know, spring training is going to be done soon, opening days in like 3 weeks. And so probably talking about all that stuff and, you know, Bob Uecker, and they brought in another pitcher. And so, you know, it's just kind of what's been going on with the team.
How do you like their chances this year? What are you expecting?
I'm expecting the same just because last year they thought they were going to be terrible and the Brewers proved everyone wrong. They're really in on the Cubs this year. Again, even though the Cubs really didn't do much, they brought in one outfielder who's having a terrible spring training, which doesn't mean much, but it's not great if your superstar is not playing well. And I don't know. They just assume the Cubs are going to take it, but I think the Brewers, if they don't, they'll at least be a playoff team. I mean, they won 92 games, 93 games, and there's no way they're just going to not win 15 games again. I mean, they've been hitting in spring training. Their pitching is actually better than last year.
Right.
And they have people coming back from injury. So they'll be good. And if anything, they'll be one of the most fun teams to watch. They're going to have the fastest team, one of the best defenses, and a bunch of young players who keep making strides. And so, I mean, even if you're a marginal baseball fan, this team is fun. Even if you talk to other fan bases, they enjoy watching the Brewers. Like, a lot of people don't hate the Brewers unless you're like a Cubs or Cardinals fan.
That's fantastic. I tell people, well, I'll just tell them, it's at Brewers Raptor, folks. Brewer fans, check this out. It's a great podcast. John does a great job hosting it. It's called at Brewers Raptor, Brewers, and then R-A-P-T-O-R. Definitely check it out. It's an excellent podcast. What's going on in the world of stand-up, John? Do you have any shows coming up people might want to know about?
This one's our Don't Tell Comedy. That is where we do shows where you sign up on the website, don'ttellcomedy.com, and they give you dates and you buy tickets, and then you don't know where the show is or who the comedians are until noon that day. And so we have coming up March 27th or 28th and 29th, whatever that Friday and Saturday is our next ones. Also, peek behind the curtain again. If you're a local business owner and want to host, let me know, because we are getting a lot of rejections right now. I do not know what's going on. We usually have no problem. But
that sounds fun,
some
actually. Spas
and some hobby shops were not happy that I even asked. So we're going to keep going.
That's terrible. Who are the comedians on March 28th and 29th?
I can't tell.
I'm just kidding.
That's the whole thing, Pete.
What gives? Why do you think? That was a ha-ha moment. What's with the sponsors? I don't get that. This is a great
idea.
Fine.
It's just a rare thing where you have to find the right setup. Because the thing the big thing is that the audience gets to bring their own drinks and stuff. So you have to find a place that isn't like a bar or restaurant, too. So it takes out a whole chunk of local businesses because they either, you know, they're a bar or they serve food or something like that. So it's that sweet spot of like a local business that has just a big enough space to fit, you know, 40, 50 people and some comics. So it's that, you know, you have to find the right business.
It's such a great idea. Don't Tell Comedy. I absolutely love it. John Egan is my guest. He is a De Pere-based stand-up comic. Check him out at Brewers Raptor on social medias. I just Googled. We played some of your comedy earlier, John, off YouTube. He's got so many great YouTube videos out there. Check him out. We'll be back with a few more minutes with John. I'm going to ask John about the Oscars and Aldi if we have time. Can we get to Aldi, John? We got to cover Aldi.
Okay, we got time, sure.
All right, fantastic. I'm glad. Do you have the whole night blocked out for the show? What time do we have to let you go? If we get you out of here by 10, does that work?
There's no way I'm talking to Craig Kinnett. There's no way I'm talking to that guy. So when he's on, I'm out.
Done and done. All right, we'll be right back with more with John Egan on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle, 1490 AM.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Get up home. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue.
What is your Fat Tuesday meal, folks? Catholics, non-Catholics alike, people just looking for an excuse to eat. I know you're out there. I'm one of them. What is your Fat Tuesday meal? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. I'm wearing my Tuesday night shirt. It is the fourth best shirt I have, and it is not that great. But nevertheless, John Egan is with me. He's on the phone right now, a local comedian.
Hello, sir.
Pardon?
I said hello.
Hello, hello, John. Craig Knitt just got here, John, and he said he brought comic books for your kids.
Oh, was it to give them to me? Thought I was going to be there?
I think maybe he thought you were going to be here, and I probably said that just because I like to think about you here, even though I knew you weren't coming. But we'll figure something out. Yeah, we'll get them to you.
That's so nice. I love Craig.
He said you guys, he thought maybe you guys were going to have an opportunity to do some improv. And I said, Craig, I wouldn't just spring that on you if that was a thing. I didn't even know you guys knew each other. But let's talk about that because I think you guys know each other from improv. There's a great outfit here locally called Comedy City. And I thought you were just a stand-up, but you do that kind of stuff as well. Improv, do you do sketch too? And what do you like better, John?
I actually started doing improv in high school. So that was kind of like my first love, and then I kind of, you know, went to college, and then 2 years into college, I joined Comedy City, and so I did some stand-up in college. It was really bad. Every gig was terrible. It was called, it was this group of people, and I think Johnny Beaner was actually in it for a while. It was called We Suck, but it was it stood for Wisconsin Stand-Up Comedian, WISUC. So great marketing, great name, but it was hell gigs, and just bombing and bad, and just it was really bad. So I kind of quit because I was bad. And so then I did improv for like every weekend for like almost a decade. And Craig was there a lot. We overlapped a very long time, and then got back into stand up. And then I kind of did that for a while, mostly just that, just because money. But improv too is still kind of my first love. And I was just there last week. I'll actually be there in 2 weeks, March 14th and 15th in Comedy City. So I do both, and I love it.
Nice. And why shouldn't you, right? I mean, they're both fantastic. Do you find that the improv helps your stand-up and vice versa, or does one help the other medium any more than the other?
I would say everyone should do both. I mean, that's the thing, is that a lot of improv people hate stand-up. A lot of stand-ups hate improv. And I get it, but it's very different, but it only helps you. I mean, if you're doing stand-up, you work by yourself, and you have to be able to do it by yourself. So say if you're hosting an improv show or on the stage by yourself, you know how to interact with the audience. You know how to have things ready and be more confident. But then on improv, you have to work as a team. Like, you have to know how to work with people. It's not just always about you. So in real things, it kind of elevates each other, in my opinion.
Very well said. You are in a, without mentioning the other person's name, you're in a bit of a war of words that I looked at on social media. I don't want to give the other comic any pub, so to speak. If you really want to find out what's going on, follow John on his socials and you can figure it out. But is comedy split into two different camps now? Are there right-wing and left-wing comics, or are there just comics that say horrible things and everybody else?
Yeah, I think, right now it's kind of a phase of that. Like, it's like this anti inclusion comedy where, like, if you say a lot of like hateful things, or like, as they call it, like non-woke, non-PC, that sort of thing, there is this niche audience that enjoys that. And it is very popular right now, and it works and stuff like that. But it's just kind of a phase where, you know, I think everyone's a comic, and probably off stage they're not terrible, but on stage they are, because they know that's what makes them money right now. So it's kind of these like different areas, but it's also just like a time, like,
right,
that, like during 2020 and during the pandemic, everything was every comedy club booked TikTok comedians, and because everyone was watching TikTok, and then they realized they didn't have 45 minutes, and after a terrible weekend at a club, they were never brought back. But they made that money and had that phase where a lot of other comics weren't being booked and that sort of thing. And so, I don't know, it comes and goes in phases. But yeah, there are comedians who are just punching down to punch down, and some people find that funny. But if you're not writing jokes and it's just to be mean to other people, that's not really what comedy is. It's supposed to make everyone laugh and relate to it, not punch down like over and over as a punchline. Like, that's not a joke, technically.
Well, and if like the clips I see are all anti-woke or like kind of hateful stuff, it's like, do you have any jokes about your kids? Or, you know, it's all like this spewing
venom. Right,
you
don't have to talk about your kids, but yeah, the punchline shouldn't be a stereotype about a certain race, or if someone's gay, or like, you know, they're making videos of, they're taking clips of comics who are part of the LGBT plus community and making fun of them while they're doing their set. It's like, that's not what we do. Like, that's, you don't, the whole point of comedy is not to bring down other people. It is supposed to make people laugh. That is your goal. You are supposed to write jokes to make people laugh. It should not be that hard.
Or like you said, punch upward. Exactly. That's how all the greats like Carlin and Richard Pryor and all those guys, they punched up, not down, as you said. So that's very well said. Hey, can we keep you after the news? I'd love to ask you about Aldi and the Oscars, John. And I got off on this tangent about bad comedians. I'm sorry.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, fantastic. Comedian John Egan is here. He is a DePere comedian, and he does improv and stand-up, and you need to follow him on at Brewers Raptor on Twitter, formerly or now known as X, the former artist that is Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Hey, are you on Blue Sky, John?
I am.
Okay.
Brewers Raptor on Blue Sky.
All right, very cool. All right, we'll have more with John Egan. We're going to do get his thoughts on the Oscars and Aldi, which I love. Coming up next, and then Craig Knitt joins me at 7:20. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill?
Donating Me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tonight, President Trump's first address to Congress of his new term. On the same day, he imposed tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China imports. To Washington and ABC's Mary Bruce.
Tariffs have long been a cornerstone of the president's economic policies, and he's offered a wide range of reasons for why he feels these new tariffs are necessary. The big question now, how much pain might Americans feel from this, and will he prepare them for that in his speech tonight?
After Friday's Oval Office diplomatic blowout, a pair of sources now telling ABC News that Ukraine could sign a high-stakes mineral deal in the coming hours. This coming after the president directed his administration to pause military aid to Ukraine. ABC News has learned that the IRS is preparing to cut as much as half of its staff as part of the Trump administration's latest round of cuts to the federal workforce. A powerful winter storm sweeping across the central U.S., high winds, blizzard conditions, a confirmed EF1 tornado touching down in Oklahoma, the system now moving east. This is ABC News.